Okay, so the you know, the last 2 days we'd spent going over all the drushot of Chazal that are actually found in the Gemara, but I realized we really have to spend at least a little bit of time on one drusha that is not found in the Gemara at all. And the Rambam is interesting methodologically, because the Rambam in general has this thing that sometimes when he doesn't really understand what's going on in the drusha that Chazal actually offer, so he offers a different drusha, right? He comes up with a new one. And that's actually what he does here, which is interesting because we spent so much time the last few days going through how we get to Mimacharat HaShabbat, and, you know, even what we did was just a summary. Meaning today I did a little Chazar and I just read through Reb David Tzvi Hoffman's piece on this, and Reb David Tzvi Hoffman alone, his piece is like, is huge, going through all the different possibilities. But whatever it is, the Rambam actually thinks that the main source, or the best proof that we have, that the Omer is brought and Sfirat HaOmer starts on the 16th of Nisan, is not any of the proofs that are found in the Gemara. So here I have the Rambam. Now, the Rambam himself is a bit long, but it's not all about the proof. But it's probably good just to read through it, because it'll give us a summary of what we're going to see in the Gemara. So if you look at the Gemara, the Rambam says, Omer Zeh Minasorim Hayaba. You know what? I could do this. Maybe this will help.
Okay. What are you?
I can pull up a translation too. Here, let's see. Halacha.
Bezrat Hashem will reach the point where I will need the translations, but it's
yeah, not well. The stage, right? But right now, let's do this. Tmidin, Perek Zion. Good night. Okay. So here we go. Right, if you want, maybe we'll just read the summary here in the English, if that's helpful, okay? So this is what they would do. Right, the summary. The sheaf came from barley in accord with an ancient tradition transmitted from our teacher Moshe. How was it made on the eve? And this is, we already saw this in the Gemara a little bit, but there's a summary, right? On the eve of the festival, messengers of the Supreme Court came out, tied the grain in bunches while still attached to the ground to make it easier to reap. All the nearby townspeople assembled that it might be reaped with much pomp. Three measures of barley were reaped by three men in three baskets with three sickles. Right? This is the Mishnah that we talked about a few days ago.
Right. That was the first Mishnah we did.
Exactly. Right. As soon as it grew dark, each reaper called out to all who were standing there, "Has the sun set?" They replied, "Yes." "At the sun set?" They replied, "Yes." "At the sun set?" They replied, "Yes." "Is this a sickle?" They replied, "Yes." "Is this a sickle?" "Yes." "Is this a sickle?" "Yes." "Is this a basket?" "Yes." "Is this a basket?" "Yes." "Is this a basket?" "Yes." If it was on the Sabbath, he called out, "Is today Sabbath?" And they replied, "Yes." "Is today Sabbath?" "Yes." "Is today Sabbath?" "Yes." Etc. They asked him, "Shall I reap?" They replied, "Yes." "Shall I reap?" "Yes." "Shall I reap?" "Yes." Everything was repeated three times. And then he gets to the point that we're up to. Why was this all required? Because of the Sadducees, who deviated from the Jewish community during the period of the Second Temple, asserting that the biblical expression on the day after the Sabbath, Nimacharat Shabbat, refers to the original Sabbath. But traditionally interpreted, the verse refers to the festival and not to the Shabbat. Okay, so that's where we are up to. And now the Rambam is going to explain, so I have both on the same page, what is the proof? Right? What is the proof for this? So you would think that the Rambam would say that the proof is, oh, Yosef's internet's working. Yosef, the internet's working. Yosef, I see you're on mute. Yosef, you're in? Okay, I hear you. Okay. So what we're up to, thank God your internet is working now. So what we're up to is the following. Okay. So anyways, we're up to this point. Right? The Rambam surprisingly says that he gives a completely different proof for or an understanding of Merachat HaShabbat. And he says, right, the Kol Kach Lama. Why did we have to go through all this pomp and circumstance? Because of all these sectarian groups, they said that which it says, Mimachar HaShabbat, who Shabbat Preshit, is Shabbos as we know it. And our Bistur is that it's Yom Tov. And that is what we always did, right? So the Rambam here, remember I said yesterday that I think the real proof for many is simply going to be the fact that this was the Masorah? So I think you get that from the Rambam, right? He says, the real reason we know that it was the 16th is because that's what we always did, right? This was a live tradition that they did it on the 16th. But then he wants to bring you a proof. And what's amazing is that when he actually gives you a proof, again, the main proof may be Masorah, but when he tries to actually give you a proof, it's none of the 10 proofs that we spent 2 days understanding in the Gemara. Instead, he says as follows. And he says that the proof was from Yoshua. Which is the following. Here we go. Hare ne'amar b'torah v'lechem v'koli v'charmel lo tochlu ad etzem hayom hazeh. We know you're not allowed to eat the new grain, the chadash, until the 16th of Nisan, right? That's in the Torah. And then we have a pasuk in Yoshua. If you remember, we talked about this a little bit on the first day. We have a pasuk in Yoshua which records the story of Pesach. And what does it say? And this is the pasuk that he says: "V'ne'emar vayochlu me'avur ha'aretz mimacharat ha'Pesach matzot v'kalui." So what is he talking about? So to understand his proof, we have to go to Yoshua for a minute. So here's Yoshua. Okay, I'll make this easier for you also. Let's do this. Okay. Here we go. So the story in Yoshua goes as follows. Vayomer Adonai el Yoshua. Hayom galoti et charpat mitzrayim me'aleichem. Vayikrashim makom ahu gilad ad hayom hazeh. So Hashem said to Yoshua, I've rolled away the disgrace of Mitzrayim. Oh, I can make arrows? Look at that. So the place that was called Gilgal, as it still is. Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael ba-Gilgal. Vayasu et ha-Pesach ba-Arbas ar-Yom la-Chodesh ba-Erev bar-Vot Yericho. So now it was Pesach. They bring the Karban on Yudalit. Right? That's when you bring Karban Pesach. Vayachlu me'avur ha'aretz mimacharat ha'pesach matzot v'kalui be'etzayim hayom hazeh. On the day after Pesach, on that very day, they ate matzah and parched grain. Vayishvot amar mimacharat v'ochlam me'avur ha'aretz v'lo ya'od l'bnei Yisrael man v'yachlu mitvuat ha'aretz kina'an v'ashanahi. On that same day, the man ceased, they didn't eat manna anymore, and they ate from the produce of Eretz Yisrael. How does the Rambam understand Yoshua here? So he says as follows. They started eating the day after Pesach. So here we're clearly talking about Yom Tov. And what do we see them doing? It sounds like we see them eating new grain. And on what day do they eat the new grain? on the day after Pesach. So you see that the Karban Omer, which is what allows you to eat new grain, was brought the day after Pesach. V'im tomar sh'oto ha-Pesach b'Shabbat ira kemosha damua tupshim. And if you'll say, well, that year maybe it was also Sunday, heyech talakato v'etar achilatam l'chadash b'davar she'inu ikar. How could the Torah, the Navi rather, say that the reason they were allowed to eat the new grain was because it was Pesach, the day after Pesach? It was because it was Pesach and not because it was Sunday. V'lo asiba ela nikre nikre ela me'acha shetala hadavar b'macharat ha-Pesach hadavar barur shemacharat ha-Pesach hi ha'ilam mater l'chadash. It proves to you that what permits the eating of new grain is the fact that it's the day after Pesach. And we don't care what day of the week it is. And therefore, what the Rambam essentially says is that it's an equation, right? I'll write it out for you, right? The Torah says, right, the day after Shabbat, right, which is the day that grain becomes permitted, and that equals the story in Yehoshua, which says that the grain became was eaten the day after Pesach, which means, in short, the day after Shabbat equals the day after Pesach equals the 16th of Nisan. Right? That's essentially the Rambam's drasha, which is none of the drashot that are found in Chazal. So the first thing you have to understand is that it's clear that this only makes sense according to the Rambam if he assumes that the real proof, as he said, was this, right? Was not the drasha itself, was the fact that that was when they always brought it, right? Meaning, he doesn't care about all the proofs in the Gemara, because the real proof is Misara. This is what we did. Now you want to look for the proof? So the Gemara gives 10 proofs. I'll give you a different one from Yehoshua. Is that clear?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, it's pretty straightforward. What's the problem? Yeah. So first of all, the problem is the Gemara actually gives you 10 proofs, and the Rambam ignores all of them. So I'm willing to buy half of the Rambam, namely that the real proof is Misora, and that's what we did. But why does he ignore all the proofs in the Gemara? So I don't know what to tell you, except maybe the Rambam wasn't convinced. But there's a bigger problem, because the Rambam may have not been convinced by the proofs in the Gemara. But are you convinced by the Rambam's proof from Yehoshua? What do you say?
What he says makes sense.
So it makes sense, except let's go back to the Psukim and let's read it one more time and see whether the Rambam is the only way to read the Psukim. Vayochlu. Sorry, here we go. Vayachanu v'nei Yisrael ba'gilgal vayasu et ha-Pesach bar ba'asar yom ha-chodesh bar barvot Yericho. They bring the Karban Pesach on the 14th day of the month. Vayachlu me'avur ha-aretz, and they eat grain mi'macharat ha-Pesach on the day after Pesach matzot v'kaloi be'etzem ha-yom hazeh. So what's the problem? The Rambam reads this word here, v'kaloi, as coming from the pasuk, which we use to learn the new grain. And he said, this must mean the new grain was eaten the day after Pesach. And therefore, Pesach here means the day after the 15th of Nisan, meaning the 16th of Nisan. But give me a different interpretation of this pasuk. What does it not say in this pasuk? Does it say that they ate new grain in this pasuk?
Uh,
No, it just says they eat grain. And what does Mi'acharat HaPesach mean? There are two dates that it might mean here. One is what the Rambam says, which is that it's the day after the 15th of Nisan, meaning the 16th of Nisan. But what else might it mean based on this? Right? Read the previous pasuk carefully and tell me what it might mean. Remember, there are two days that could be called Pesach. The Rambam assumes it's what we call Seder night. But what's the other day that can be Pesach in Tanakh? The 14th. Pesach. The 14th. Because, remember, there are two potential days that can be called Pesach. The 14th of Nisan, which is the day that we shech the Karban Pesach. Or the 15th of Nisan, which is the day that we eat the Karban Pesach.
Yeah.
So the Rambam is reading it as follows. On the 14th they shechted, implied the 15th they ate. On the day after they ate, meaning on day 16, they ate new grain. But you could read this differently. And you could say, oh, it looks like Yosef's... Oh, let me let him back in. Yosef, you okay? Internet back on?
Yeah, I'm in Yeshiva now, so I have connection.
Okay, good. So one way to read it is on the 14th they brought the Karban Pesach, on the 15th they ate the Pesach, on the day after the 15th they brought the Karban Omer, therefore we're allowed to have new grain. But there's another way of reading these psukim, which is on the 14th they brought the Pesach, and on the day after on the 14th they shechted the Pesach, and on the day after they shechted the Pesach, meaning not the 16th, but the day after the 14th, which is the 15th, they ate matzah. Not matzah made of new grain, just matzah and grain, but maybe old grain. So how do you know that the pasuk is talking about new grain on the 16th of Nisan, which is the day after they ate the Karban Pesach? Maybe it's talking about the day after they shechted the Karban Pesach, meaning the day after the 14th of Nisan, i.e. the 15th of Nisan. And therefore the grain they're talking about is old grain, in which case you have no proof that new grain becomes permitted on the 16th of Nisan. Is that clear?
No, can you mind saying that one more time?
Okay, good. So here's what we have. Here are the terms, right? In Yoshua, we have the 14th of Nisan. They shecht the Korban Pesach. On the 15th of Nisan, right, they eat the Korban, meaning Seder night. Okay, so far we're clear?
Yeah.
Then the pasuk says as follows. On the day after Pesach, they ate matzah and grain. Okay? So now there are two ways of understanding this. Here. Look at all the amazing things we can do because we're doing this on the computer. Okay. Let's see. How am I going to do this? Oh, forget it. I'll just do this more simply. Okay. This is what the pasuk in Yoshua tells us. But now there are two ways of understanding this. Okay? One way is the way the Rambam understands it, which is Or you know what? Here. This is the pasuk in Yoshua. Okay? This is how the Rambam reads it. On the day after Pesach, i.e., eating.
Could you scroll up just a little bit?
You good?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, much better.
Okay. So here's how the Rambam reads it. Look. On the day after Pesach, they ate matzah and grain, new grain, chadash, i.e., the omer was brought. Got it? That's how the Rambam reads the pasuk. Right? On the day after the eating of the Pesach, they ate matzah and grain, meaning new grain. So, this is the 16th. Clear?
Pesach, which is the 15th, so therefore the 16th.
Correct.
They would eat matzah and grain, and that is the new grain, which is...
Correct. But the other way to read this is as follows. On the day after Pesach, meaning the day after the 14th of Nisan, which is when you shecht the Karban Pesach, they ate matzah and grain, meaning old grain. And we don't know when they brought new grain. Right? That's the other way to read the pasuk. Got it? Okay. Right, meaning if the day after Pesach is the day after the 14th, they ate matzah, meaning on the 15th, that means they're eating old grain, and we don't know when they brought the Karban Omer. It could have been that next day, or it could have been on Sunday. We have no proof. Right, the proof disappears if you think that in Yoshua, the day after Pesach, this pasuk right here, right? I'll read it according to the other possibility. On the day after the shechting of the Pesach, on that day, meaning on the 15th, which is the day after the 14th, they ate produce from the country, matzah and parched grain. But it doesn't say new grain, it just said they ate grain. And if that was the case, then the Rambam's proof disappears. Is that clear?
No.
Okay.
Just the last little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Here.
According to that first word.
It's fine, look. The Rambam's interpretation you're clear with? Here's the puzzle we need to understand, right? On the day after the Passover offering, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the country. And here's the two possibilities. Okay? Possibility one is the eating of the Pesach. Possibility two is the shechting of the Pesach. Right? So this is the Pasuk. Everything in bold is the Pasuk. Right? Here are the two interpretations. So on the day after the Pesach, which can either mean the eating of the Pesach, meaning the 15th, right? The 15th plus 1 equals 16th, right? The day after Pesach. So the day after the eating of the Pesach means the 15th plus 1, i.e. on the 16th. Okay? Or it could mean the day after the eating, the shechting of the Pesach, which means the 14th plus 1 equals the 15th. On that very day, they ate produce. So according to interpretation 1, they ate new produce because the Omer had been brought. But according to the second possibility, they ate old produce because the Omer had not been brought. So the Rambam reads it this way. I'll bold the Rambam. The Rambam reads it. The day after the eating of the Pesach, on that day they ate new produce, i.e. the Omer had been brought. You see that it's the 16th. Yes? I wish I had an actual board. But is that clear? Right, the way that, right, this is the pasuk. Right, the pasuk is everything that's bolded and underlined, okay?
Right.
On the day after Pesach, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the country, unleavened bread and parched grain. The Rambam understands it is the day after Pesach, meaning the day after the eating of the Pesach, so the day after the 15th, meaning the 16th. On that very day, they ate of the produce of the country, unleavened bread and parched grain, meaning new produce, because it's the 16th of Nisan, and you're allowed to bring the, you bring the Omer, and therefore you're allowed to eat new grain.
Right.
But you could read it differently and say that on the day after the Pesach offering, not the eating, but
sacrifice,
the shechting, meaning the day after the 14th, i.e. on the 15th, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the country. It never says it was new produce. Maybe they just ate produce.
They didn't give the Omer yet, they ate old.
Correct. And then, according to this pasuk, when do they bring the Omer? We don't know. We don't know because the pasuk isn't talking about new grain. And therefore, we just don't know when the Omer is brought, so the proof disappears. Right? Because if the pasuk is talking about what happened on the first day of Pesach, on the 15th, so the grain they're eating is old, and if the grain they're eating is old, then we don't know when they bring the Omer. All we know is it's sometime after the 15th. It could be the 16th, it could be the 17th, it could be the 18th, it could be the 20th. We just don't know. Right? There's only a proof if we know for sure that they started eating new grain on the 16th. But if we know they ate at some point after the 15th, it could be any day. Yes, no, yes, no?
Yeah.
So now, what's incredible is that not only is that a possible read, but that's actually, it's a machloket in the Yerushalmi. So if you look here in the Yerushalmi says exactly this. The Yerushalmi is a machloket. Do the laws of Chadash and Yashan start applying as soon as the Jews move into Israel? In which case, would it have applied during the first year of Yoshua's entry into Eretz Israel? Yes. Right? And the Rambam is assuming that as soon as the Jews entered into Israel, new grain, chadash, becomes prohibited until the bringing of the Omer. And if that's the case, then they needed to bring the Omer in order to permit eating the new grain. But there's a machloket about that, because in the Yerushalmi, there's one position who says that all the laws of chadash and yashan and new grain and old grain and all that start applying as soon as the Jews enter Israel. The other position is not true. Those laws don't apply until 14 years later, after the Jews have won all the battles and divided up the land. But the first 14 years, they're allowed to eat all grain, including new grain. Okay? Yeah?
Yeah?
So the Gemara says, Dirishmal Omer, Kol Biot Shenemar Betarar, Bas Reshana Shenemar Sheva, Shekiv Shuv Shev Shechelku. Rabbi Shmuel says, the first 14 years, you know that first year in Yoshua, when it says they were eating grain, they were allowed to eat whatever they wanted, because the Yisr of Chadash took place only 14 years later. Hativ Ribon Bar Kahana, Ribon Bar Kahana says to him, how can you say that in the first year of Yoshua they were allowed to eat whatever grain they wanted? The pasuk says that they didn't eat grain until the day after Pesach. Doesn't that prove the way the Rambam understands it? That they didn't eat grain until the day after the eating of the Pesach, meaning the day after the 15th, which is the 16th, Lo B'Shisha Asar? Doesn't that mean that you were only allowed to eat new grain on the 16th? Meaning exactly like the Rambam. Oh, we lost Noah.
Okay.
The shaky internet is not great.
Yeah, kind of bad. We're already using the internet and now their servers are down.
Oi. Let's see what happened to Noah. I miss being in person, having a board. I could have done this relatively quickly in the board, I think.
Only time will tell when we can resume that.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I'll explain it to you in the meantime, right? So, the other position here in the Yerushalmi says, no, you misunderstand it. There was no prohibition of new grain in the time of Yoshua until they conquered the land. And what does it mean that they were eating Mimachar at Pesach? It means the 15th, the day after the Shechita. And how do I know that that's also called Pesach? Because of this Pasuk. Mimacharada Pesach Yatsu b'nei Yisrael b'yad Ramah le'inei kol Mitzrayim. The Jews go out of Egypt on the day after Pesach. That's not the day after the 15th, that's the day after the 14th, i.e. on the 15th. So you see that Pesach sometimes means the day of the Shechita, the day of the 14th. And therefore you have no proof. And it turns out, so the Rambam's proof depends on a machloket in the Yerushalmi. It depends on the Yerushalmi meaning, or on the pasuk meaning, that you brought the karbon the day after the 15th on the eating of the Pesach. But one day in the Yerushalmi says, no, what that pasuk means is the day after the 14th, i.e. on the 15th, and it's in an era where there is no prohibition whatsoever of eating chadash, of eating new grain. And therefore there's no proof at all because they weren't bringing the omer. There was no iser on the omer. There was no iser of new grain.
Okay.
And if that's the case, the Rambam's proof disappears. Because what the pasuk meant, remember, is not the day after the eating, but the day after the shechting, they ate grain, just grain, not new grain, just grain. And then the Rambam's proof would disappear. And it turns out that that's not just one day in Yerushalmi. But if you look at the Mefarshim, that's exactly how the Radak understands it in his Maskana. Mimacharada Pesach. Hu leil chamisha asar b'nisan. V'yomok, ya Pesach, kari ba'abasar. The whole thing here is talking about the 14th and the day after the 14th, the 15th, not the 16th.
Do we ever figure out which of these parameters, do we always go along the guidance of these two parameters now, or do we eventually eliminate one of them?
No, it's a machloket. That's my point, is that the Rambam's proof is subject to a machloket in Chazal. And the Radak, in his commentary, accepts... So the Rambam clearly resolves it like the Shita that Chadash started applying as soon as they got into Israel. And that Mimachar HaPesach means the day after the eating of the Karban. That's what he thinks. But it's clearly not an ironclad proof, because in Chazal you had two positions, and even within the classical medieval commentaries, so the Rambam takes the position that the Pesach there means the eating, and the day after the eating is the 16th. But the Radak says it's the day after the Shechita, and if the day after it is the 15th, and this has nothing to do with Chadash and Yashan. The Ralbag understands it like the Rambam. Right, and he says, Hine Amarzel, if he's Rudam Chadash, Abimar Chadar Pesach, like the Rambam, we're talking about the day after the eating, and therefore it must be the 16th, because they weren't allowed to eat Chadash until the 16th. And then, like the Rambam, he says, and here's the proof that Mimacharat Shabbat means Mimacharat Pesach means day 16. Lo Mimacharat Shabbat Breishit, Kmo Shamru at Stukim, not like the Stukim. Shim Haya Enyan Kain, Hine Lo Yimalein Enyan, Mechalukat, and Shinemar, Shifarkara as Shepes, Yom Shabbat, Abzuat Yom Shabbat. Etc. Right, so the Ralbag reads like the Rambam, and therefore, like the Rambam, he thinks that this can be a hardcore proof for the notion that when you're supposed to bring the Karban HaOmer is the day after the day of the eating of the Pesach, meaning the day after the 15th on the 16th, but as we saw, according to the other day on Yerushalmi, and according to the Radak, there's no proof whatsoever.
They still think it's the 15th.
And the Malbim is, also, if you look, he said, Rashi goes like the Rambam, goes like that day in Chazal, which is, by the way, the accepted day in the Bavli. But, again, it's not an ironclad proof, because, as he said, it goes against the Pshat. And besides, there's another day in Yerushalmi. So all I want to show here is that, again, for some reason the Rambam didn't like the 10 proofs in the Gemara. He brings another proof, which itself is dependent on a Machloket and Chazal. Yes, it's the majority of you in the Bavli. But it's so unclear that even in the Yerushalmi it's a Machlokes, and in Pshat, the Radak, the Malbim, and others say that Pshat is not like the Chazal that the Rambam bases himself on. And therefore, again, I think, like I said yesterday, you have to say that the main proof is not these different Diyunim. The main proof has to be the first half of the Rambam, which is the Mesorah. The fact that generation after generation, that was when they bought the Omer on the 16th, and they knew that's what it meant. So all these proofs are just trying to bolster what they already knew was true from their experience. And I think that's really the best way to understand the drasha in Chazal, the drasha in the Rambam, etc. Okay, I guess because everyone's internet is dropping, so I'm left with you, let's stop it here. And the sources that I sent out today, meaning the Gemara, from Samach Yom Beis to Samach Dal and Malav, we'll do tomorrow. Or, no, tomorrow's Friday. Sunday, I guess. Or we'll figure out if people want some sort of shir tomorrow. Because everyone's trapped inside anyways. Okay.
At least in my dorm, we're all like pitching in to cook for Shabbat.
Oh, okay. So then maybe tomorrow I'll offer like a Parsha shir or something tomorrow. Like a longer Parsha shir that people can maybe put on in the background while they're cooking or something. But I won't give Gemara shir tomorrow.
Okay,
good. I'll talk to you later, okay?